fired up for Jesus. But now all of a sudden in this saved life of mine, it's football season. So I'm drudging on the church. Got the Cowboys on my mind. And so finally, after weeks went by, I woke up with a sore throat. Wasn't feeling good at all. Well, Sandy, I can't go to church with you today. You go ahead on. I'll pray for you. She going on, little baby going on to church. And I'm like, okay, rhythm and roll. Rip it off, but you know what? Something had changed. I'm sitting there, the game was on, and I was miserable. I'm sitting there, the game is on. I'm saying, well, they finished Sunday school now. They praying now. You know, the message is, you know. So I was now, something had changed on the inside that I didn't know had changed. It wasn't nothing wrong with football in its place. But I tell you what, there's nothing better than in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Worshiping God. And that's when you know that God is doing something special in your life. Amen. And we praise God for that. You know, tonight we started this new Bible study series. And over these last, I guess, 3 years or so, we've been using Lifeway study material, which is good, excellent. We still got plenty more to go. But you didn't have anybody ever woke up in the middle of the night and the Lord kind of give you a word or a sentence or something to write down, because you know if you don't write it out, you'll forget it. You know? So you try to, okay. What time is it? You know? And so I got up to write down this one little sentence. It's like the Lord just kept speaking to my heart. Write this, write this, write this. And it came out in the way of Bible study. And here, what was really amazing about it to me was the subject for this 6 weeks is church stuff. So, Brother Mick, God bless you. We're going to talk about church stuff. You know, here God has established 3P's Christian ministry. We're coming up on 6 years. And I say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. We ought to get the Lord a hand praise for that. People in our home, and the Lord have blessed the ministry to be able to do some things in the kingdom of God. And so we thank the Lord for that. And so talking about church stuff is the title of this study. And I think it's good for us to talk about some church stuff. And the first lesson tonight is the purpose of the church. I think it's good for us to know, to understand what the purpose of the church is. And I'll say, and I'll come back to that, because next week, if the Lord willing, God bless you, sister. Next week, lesson two, we're going to talk about the support of the church. Right? And that's something that anyone has been in 3P's for any time know that we don't harp on money or support or anything like that. But at the same time, it's things we need to know and understand as it relates to the support of the church. Lesson three, we're going to talk about the disciplines and ordinances within the church, i.e. foot washing, communion, and practical things that we need to know how to guard our feet in the house of the Lord. And lesson four, we're going to talk about church growth, the growth of the church.
Yes.
You know, anything living ought to be growing. And we'll talk about what that looks like, because it's not always in what we may think, but there should be growth. Now, lesson five, the effectiveness of the church. I believe the body of believers, a fellowship, should be effective in what we're doing for Christ. And then the last lesson is spiritual gifts within the church. Now, that's supposed to be one lesson for that one night, but Lord knows it might take all week, a month, but that's lesson number six. Amen. So we're going to talk about it tonight. The purpose, lesson one, the purpose of the church. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 20. Sapati, so you need, you all got some handouts here. You take one side, Sapati, take the other side. Lord as well.
Yes.
So everyone have a handout? Does everyone have your lesson planned for this next 6 weeks? And before we get to that, how many was here for the movie last week? Was that movie a blessing or what? Yeah. Maybe it was an old movie, 2003, but it was called Flywheel. And how Flywheel really became the name of it, but it was interesting. Look it up on Netflix and Pureflix, and it'll bless you. So that was a blessing. So after every 6 week Bible study, we have movie night. So you all remember that, so you can come and kick back, have a hot dog, popcorn, praise the Lord. Good evening. The purpose of the church. Did everyone see that? Lesson one, the purpose of the church, Matthew 16, 13 through 20.
Yes, that's it. You know, the purpose, a purpose is something set up as an object or an end to attain something. Something to be attained to. The purpose of the church, what does that look like? What is the purpose of the church? And it's interesting, I even thought it interesting myself, the scripture that the Lord gave me to start this off. So it says that for a church to be effective, it must have purpose. I think anything we do in life should have purpose, don't you? I don't think God does anything just because you don't have anything to do. Everything that God does has purpose. Everything God allows has purpose.
All right.
Right? And we're to be Christ-like, you know. So for a church to be effective, it must have a purpose. It must have DNA. The church should be known for something. I would hate to be a part of a church that's known for nothing. What do they do? Nothing. What do they all about? Nothing. Where are they going? Nowhere. No, so that must be purpose. We have some index cards.
Books.
All right. If you look down, we're going to have a little activity where we can kind of work this out a little bit before we get into the passage. Oh, no, answer. Using the index cards provided, answer the following questions, which everyone get those. Does everyone have an ink pen? If not, we have pens. It's on the table, on the entry table back there. And I think it's kind of a probing question as well. Do we need to be probed or prodded sometimes?
Yes.
Have you ever had the need to be prodded and you didn't even know it?
Yes.
You know, kind of in a doldrum or kind of a little bit halfway stagnant and something come or some God sent someone by and kind of prompt you. What do you know to be your purpose in life? Is that a valid question?
I want you to answer these questions.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
But it is, but my valid question. What do you know to be your purpose in life? How or when did you arrive at that conclusion? And the bonus question is worth 50 points. Does your purpose coincide with the purpose of your church? Can we take about 5 minutes and just write where you are? I don't think we have to have groups tonight. And just kind of answer that, and maybe someone may want to share. And sometimes, we just keep it straight up. Some of us may not know our purpose. But the scripture said, if any man is lacking in wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally, and he don't hold back. So let's just take a few moments. Let me get an index card.
Yes.
Are we breaking up the groups, or are we just asking the questions?
We just answer right where we are tonight. Because this is not a group question now. Like my father used to say, I can't sleep for the public. But he said, this is for me now.
One minute remaining.
Anyone need a little more time? Everybody's good? That's question number one. Is everybody good?
Yeah.
You need more time? So I guess question number two, or two and a half, would be, who would like to share? Would anyone like to share with the congregation what you've been, Sister Jackie?
My purpose is to serve and encourage others and to spread the word of God, to love one another and these health things, and to use my gift of listening to help others.
When did you come to that conclusion?
Before I became a Christian, probably more so what I became a Christian and the person who I was.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. What about the bonus question?
Yes, I think Three P's is a good example of using our gifts and our and serving others as our purpose.
Mm. Praise God. All right. Anyone else like to share? Sister Dolores?
I sat down to glorify God, to do His will, to love God with all my heart, soul, and mind, and to love my neighbors myself. And then when it said, when did I come to that conclusion? I said, after many years of being saved by grace and reading God's word. And then does my church, does that purpose coincide with the purpose of my church? And I said, I hope so.
I hope so. Praise God. All right, let's kind of popcorn around the room. Listen, if you feel led, next. Come on, Brother Chuck.
All right. To learn about and model / teach authentic relationships characterized by emotional intimacy, mutual integrity, and transparency.
Wow. And when did you come to that conclusion?
It was about 2 years ago, actually, when... I had to learn if it was related to my dad, and then reaching out to him, I learned, again, my father had never told me that he loved me, and that was something that I realized that I longed for.
Yes.
And when he told me that, I immediately started crying, sobbing, and I kind of started something in concert with, you know, losing the young and all that. So it all kind of melded together to say, you know what, God has made us as relational beings, and we have to cultivate that.
Yes.
And authenticity is a big part of that.
Yes.
Question two, and question three, yes.
Yes. All right. Is that an emphatic yes?
It's an emphatic yes.
All right. All right. Who's next?
Wondering why the one thing that I want in life was always love, which started from my dad, who deemed me too difficult to be loved as an infant. So it wasn't until the Lord revealed to me that He's jealous.
Yes, and it'll come out.
I love nobody else more than I loved Him, and I realized that even with everybody that I had a soul tie to, just because my love, I love hard. My grandmother was work, my father was black.
Yes.
So he said,
"Praise God, praise God." What's your name?
Mal.
Mal. Okay, and you know that jealous God, the Hebrew term is Elkanah. The Lord our God is a jealous God. He cares about us. I love what you said. How you downloaded the revelation. Wow, praise God. All right, thank you for sharing, Robert. Who's next? Come on, Doc, quit shucking the job. Sit up there on call.
Well, first of all, I started off, I guess, from a pastor background. I asked the question, the purpose of the church.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we were talking about.
Yes, right.
Of the church. And according to scriptures, I find that the church has a threefold purpose.
Okay.
And it's to exalt the Lord, God, as one. And then we have the edification of the saints. The church is here to edify, and like we're doing now, Bible study. Get people to teach and get them on the same page as what the Word of God has to say, and then also evangelizing the world. So that's a free purpose that we come out. I'll take time to get into to that. But
you have time to move.
The answers that to the questions, what do you know to be your purpose? As a pastor, I felt called to be a pastor, teacher, evangelist to the body of Christ. That's my purpose.
Yes.
And I remember when, not to prepare myself any means of life, but Jesus. To Jesus, but we're supposed to. He is our example.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in the Word of God when he went into the synagogue and he began to read from the book of Isaiah.
Yes.
And
yes,
when he started reading about the in Isaiah, he talked about the brokenhearted.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about liberty to the captives,
yes,
the blind,
yes,
and the oppressed. And I felt like my calling was. Like all of us should be, our calling should be in that vein also. Now, how did I arrive? I guess what was the question here? How and when did I arrive at that conclusion?
Mm-hmm.
Personally, throughout the years, God had brought me to a realization of my purpose and my destiny. Like all of us, we have a combination of experiences that God takes us through and brings us through to give significance to the direction that He's going with us. So, in the very beginning of my life in church, in the early churches, there was the time when evangelists used to come and lay hands, lay hands on and prophesy, that followed with physical healing, and of course, growing up in a godly house.
Right.
That was important to me. But the bonus question to me was that, does your purpose coincide with the purpose of the church? Now, for me, I didn't realize at the beginning when I began to pastor, but I knew that I had a pastor's heart to love people.
Mm-hmm.
And so the willingness to teach the Word of God, that was built in me, and also the willingness to take the gospel to all of the world, all of that was working, and so I have to say yes, that was my purpose.
Praise God. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Anyone else?
I wanted to say that listening to all that, what I wrote down, because it seems like after you get into it, in the roles, whether it's first your own self, you know, I said I'm to exhibit Christian character in my roles as a person in this society, as a wife faithful to my husband, as an helper to him, a mom, a source of protection and security and teaching. My children and other children that. So to me, it just, when I jump down to the second question, when did I arrive at the conclusion, was after being placed in those roles.
Yes.
You know, it's amazing. Some may have had foreknowledge, but I really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I kind of learned as I kind of. It's kind of like the very same. And then the bonus question, this ministry here makes it more fun, you know, makes it easier to do all these various things and find and refine the purpose.
Praise God. You know, it's amazing how God leads us into the paths of righteousness, where He wants to go. Was that your hand, Brother Ben? No, I'm good.
I came to Christ out of crisis. I think a lot of us, some of us have came up in godly homes and we're introduced to Christ at a very young age. Some of us, most of us came because of something that came into our life that was above what we could handle. So the church has a lot of individuals that the Lord has spoken to me about that are growing emotionally, psychologically. That is not healed when we first come to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we don't give credence to that. And so, in order for us to be whole, because we're spirit, soul, and body, the soulish part of us, our mind, from say, emotional stressors, either abuse, physical, psychological, or sexual, those issues sometimes are glossed over.
Right.
And people say, well, you accept the Christ, you know the Spirit, that's it.
Mm.
But I find in my own childhood that's not always the case.
Mm-hmm.
And we need people that have that experience and the training to reach out to these folks. Mm-hmm. The other issue is, in order for us to be here on this earth to carry out God's will and purpose in our lives, we need to be in good health a lot of time to violate that.
Yeah.
Be educated on how to take care of this natural body in order for our spirit to maintain between the house here and not be sick. I've had sometimes you hear people say, you ask some questions, well, how are you? And they'll give you the cliche,
right,
the favor and the blessing.
Yeah, great. On top and prosper.
Yeah. So, and I came back to that as part of what I wanted to do in terms of career and the direction those guys take me in terms of medicine. So, is that coincide with the church that you do, the churches or the other things?
Oh, yeah. For sure. Thank you for sharing that. It's so true. I mean, matter of fact, Brother Ben and I, we had breakfast at Dorms this morning while the ladies were at the beauty shop. And guess what? We had turkey bacon and turkey sausage. You know? I looked at the pork and I'm like, no. I looked at the beef. No, I had some earlier. Turkey. That's just my little testimony. But according to what you said, I'm trying to watch what I eat. Trying to watch what I consume. I've been drinking a lot of water. More and more water. I leave the other stuff alone.
How are you doing on the sweets?
On my sweets, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
I didn't have nothing but one Snicker bar. And Dollar Tree. Praise God. Thank you all. So, you know, this is just right for the subject matter on tonight. Talking about the purpose of the church. We're going to see who and what the church is and what the church is not, you know. And that's why, you know, in our time, you can take this home with you, but look at what the handout, what is a church? But we'll talk about that as we get into the Word. And it was interesting to me how the Holy Spirit brought this scripture to me of Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 20. The first three verses reads like this, and then we're going to get interactive here. I think there's some things we need to kind of springboard into, because all of these other lessons we've talked about, if we don't get this part right, then we're not ready for what's to come. We have to deal with the purpose that God has for his church. So it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, his followers, say, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And I thought this was real, just basic stuff here until I started looking into it more and more. It says, so they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? That's a probing question. That's a powerful question. That's a question that demands an answer. Who do you say, Jesus? So the question, though, is, and this is to the church, to the Bible study, who do men say Jesus is today? What are some of the things that we hear people saying today about Jesus? I wish I had time to kind of go knock on doors and ask just that question. Who, Jesus? After getting run out of a few of them, I still might even find somebody that would give me an answer to.
A good teacher.
Good teacher.
Prophet.
Prophet.
Don't believe at all.
Some don't believe at all.
They believe in a picture.
A figment of your imagination. Mm-hmm.
Joseph's son.
Joseph's son. Mary's little baby. Mm-hmm.
Some say crutch.
Crutch.
And I've even heard people say he's the brother of Satan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. You got the cults out there. You know, you have the Mormons, you have the Jehovah's Witnesses, you know. And guess what? Every cult group starts with a misconception of the nature of God. Mm-hmm. Janet?
One of my clients was a Jewish man, and he said, "Well, who do you think Jesus is?" And he said, "Well, he's not the Messiah." And I said, "Well, then who is he?" And he said, "He was a fine young Jewish boy."
Yeah.
See, wow.
That's what he believes.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I was looking at this, and and I know Brother Chuck and I, we've talked about this so often time, how sometimes scripture, we can just blow past it. And so nothing is written in the Word of God that doesn't have purpose, that is not penned there for a reason. I'm going to give just a little bit of excerpt of a download that I had concerning verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, it says Caesarea Philippi is in the foothills of Mount Hermon, which is in Syria. Mount Hermon is the largest mountain in the whole area, towering 2,814 meters above sea level. To get an idea of how high that is, consider that the Temple Mount in Jerusalem is about 741 meters above sea level. Here's what got me. In Aramaic, Mount Hermon is called Jabal Ash-Sheik. I'm like, okay, I don't know Aramaic, but that's, you know. But guess what it means? Mountain of the Chief. So I'm like, okay, it's not, maybe not a coincidence. This is where Jesus asked this question to his disciples and to whoever may be around and who's familiar with that mountain, where there's a stone wall made by God that's 500 feet high in the air. And everything that was built as far as learning institutions was always up on a mountain, up on a hill somewhere, never in Jewish custom in the valley somewhere. So I thought that was very interesting, because Jesus, when he took them up there, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" That's a favorite title that Jesus used for himself.
Yeah.
The Son of Man. Now, I believe most of us know that Jesus was fully God and fully man. The term is called theanthropos, right? We know in the book of Ezekiel, the man Ezekiel, God called him many times and gave him what to prophesy, calling him Son of Man. But Camille, if you could pull up Daniel, which is jumping to a part of Daniel chapter 7. Where it begins to talk about this Messiah that was to come. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, 14. We'll just kind of jump in the middle of it, because we don't have time to, Gary, to do the whole thing, but we'll just look at a couple of verses. So here, God is speaking to Daniel in a vision. And he said, "I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion." Who does that sound like? "Dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away." Do you know we have tapped into something real deep that, Sister Valerie, we have downloaded? the very word of, he has downloaded his spirit into our very beings forever to be with the Lord. He said, "Which shall not pass away, in his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed." We're going to see how that comes out further on in this lesson.
So let just the rehearse a little bit. So they said, some say John the Baptist. We remember what happened to John the Baptist. We know his head was cut off and Herod's chopping block. But guess what? In heaven, he's going to be there in one piece.
That's right.
We may die in weakness, but we're going to rise in power.
Amen.
Some said Elijah. Oh, man, that tough prophet. And who spoke the word, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Some folks begin to see something about this Jesus. He speaks with authority. He sounds like some of them prophets from old. Something's happening here. Some say Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Remember how Jesus wept over Jerusalem and so forth, and the concern that he had for people. But so that was, this is who folks are saying. And others say, one of the prophets. But he said to them, who do you say that I am? That takes us to our next verse. Could someone read, please? Where am I at? 17.
Verse
16. Verse 16, 17 and 18.
Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.
Right there. Praise God. So, of course, that brings up the next question. Who do you say that Jesus, the Son of Man, am? Yes. President, can we popcorn around the room just for a minute to say who Jesus is to you?
My provider.
Your provider.
I'm going to say
King of Kings. King of Kings.
Lord and Savior.
Deliverer. Who is Jesus?
Mighty God.
All right.
Redeemer.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he have redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Who is he? Who is Jesus to you?
King of all kings.
King of all kings?
Lord of all lords.
Come on now. Brother John, who is Jesus to you?
Your Savior.
Yeah. Savior. Thank you, my sister Patricia.
First, the last, the beginning,
and the end. Amen. Remember the old song say, do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know Jesus Christ, God's Son? Now, you know I don't sing, but I sure
remember that. But you didn't sound bad, though. That was good.
Cool. Where that
hallelujah. Is. That was the Holy Ghost.
You know. See, and that was a pointed question.
Yeah.
Who do you say that I am? See, we're talking about the purpose of the church.
Yeah.
We can't walk in the purpose of the church if we don't know who Jesus is.
That's right.
If Jesus hasn't become alive to us in our very being, and we don't understand and realize beside him there is no other, then everything else we're doing is in vain.
That's right.
The foundation has to be laid. All through scripture we say, talk about building on a solid foundation. Mm-hmm. So what did he say? He said, Simon Peter answered and said, what do we know about Simon Peter?
Outspoken.
Was he outspoken?
Mm-hmm.
What else about it? Was he a little rambunctious?
He had a cussing problem.
Yeah, he had a cussing problem, huh? Okay. What? Anything else we know about him? What was his trade?
He was a fisherman.
What was his brother's name?
Oh, shoot.
Andrew.
Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
But he loved Jesus.
Yes. Yes. So did that bring up another one of those questions? Do you love him?
Yes.
Y'all, do you love him?
Yes.
See? Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, and it's one thing to love Jesus in the congregation.
Right.
It's another thing to love Jesus in battle.
That's right.
In the midnight hour.
When the bottom drops out.
Right. That's real. Yes. That's real.
Do you know him?
Okay, don't stress.
Do you love him? Jesus Christ, God's Son.
Amen.
When the trials of life come, when the storm clouds are raging, wind is blowing. See,
Because Jesus said, blessed is he who hears these sayings of mine and do them. He said, I'll liken him to a man who builds a house on a rock. And the flood comes, and the rain comes, the wind blows, and that house will stand. Why? Because it's founded upon the rock. So you already know what happens to the one built on the sand, right? It can't stand. Wow. Sand can't stand. I'm a poet, and I know it.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Yeah. Lily said, oh, boy. She First said, I heard that one before. That's my daddy.
Yeah.
Simon Peter answered and said, okay. You are the Christ.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about that for a minute. What do that mean?
The anointed one.
Oh, the anointed one. See, Messiah, that's the Hebrew term there. Where's Pepper? No. You know, the Messiah, the anointed one. You know, and that's where we get Christ from. In our terminology, in the Greek, it's Christos. But it's all pointing to the anointed one, the Messiah that was to come.
Yeah.
So this is some powerful stuff here.
The fulfillment.
Yes. So when you say, when he say Simon Peter answered, we said he's boisterous. Mm-hmm. We said he loved Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we said he got some issues.
Mm-hmm.
Now, no. some of us may not have issues.
Yeah.
But I believe we all do. But we love Jesus.
That's right.
He was hung up for our issues.
Yes.
He sanctifies us holy. He covers us with his blood. There's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
We walk not after the flesh, but after,
the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Mm. So he says, thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the one that folks that we've been looking for. The one that the scriptures have talked about.
Right.
The Son of the living God.
Yeah.
Who is that? The creator of the ends of the earth?
Yeah.
The one who spoke and what? Your universe came into existence?
Mm-hmm.
El Shaddai? Mm-hmm. Elohim? I guess keep picking on Mallory because she said that download is still sticking with me. Do you believe God was downloading to Peter?
Amen.
His hard drive was at full speed.
Hard drive.
I mean, it was cranking. Thank you, Lord. And so he said, watch this. Jesus answered and said, then what did he say in verse 17 somewhere?
Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah.
Son of John. Mm-hmm.
For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. But my Father who is in heaven.
That's the download right there.
Yes.
Where did it come from? Peter didn't drum this up.
Right.
Right? Exactly. And if the truth be told, we take it out to its logical extension, none of us saved ourselves.
Right. No one comes to the Father but by him.
See, we were messed up.
That's right.
We were dead in trespasses and sin.
Yes.
Something happened. Someone touched us.
Yes.
Someone wooed us, loved us into the kingdom, showed us how wretched we were.
Mm-hmm.
And now you know that was one of those, yeah. Because when I remember when I first got into church and the mothers of the church, I won't say old, but just the mothers of the church, they would testify. And they would say, I was a wretch undone. I'm young, just coming. I said, what's that? But I kept reading the word. I said, I'm one of them too. I'm jacked up. I'm messed up. I'm tore up from the flow up. I need Jesus.
Yes.
Who downloaded that into my spirit and my heart that I needed Jesus. Uh-huh. That I couldn't, I had a case of the can't help it. I needed Jesus.
Yes.
I had a case of foot and mouth disease. I needed Jesus. Had a sin problem. Thanks be unto God.
Mm-hmm.
He said, so my Father in heaven gave you this. And he said, I also say to you, just watch this close because there's a play on words here. We know that Peter, you know, translation, rock. And I say also to you that you are Peter and upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. I think we're going to do the question because I'm feeling something.
Right. That's Sunday. It's Thursday.
So the question is, where is my question?
It's right next to it.
Oh, what? No, I did some manipulating on mine. That's why I asked you to give it to me in a Word document so I can mess with it. All right. On what rock was Jesus to build his church? What was Jesus communicating here to Peter?
I think he's building his rock on his word.
Whose word?
On Christ's word.
Okay.
On this rock, I will build my church. So, like, it's a statement of faith, mm-hmm. a confession of faith that Peter did. But I'm building my church, like it's
the church. Oh, this is Jesus talking.
This is Jesus talking. Mm-hmm. Jesus wouldn't build church on people. It's
right.
It's on his word.
That's right.
Is that right?
Keep talking. Just keep talking.
Well, I mean, we got quiet, so I was like, maybe they think like I
said. Sandy didn't burn it. Yeah. What'd you say?
I'm saying, and I heard. I
couldn't put
all
the lights. Okay. All right. All right. I love this. Sandy, then Mick, and then Brother Ben.
The statement that Peter made from that he got downloaded, that was downloaded to him from God, says, "You are the Christ,
mm-hmm.
the Son of the Living God," and that's what the church is built on.
Mm-hmm.
That is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The Son of God. Because the scripture says that we must first believe that he is,
mm-hmm.
and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And he said that no man comes unto the Father but by the Son. So the only way that we have an opportunity to get to God is through Jesus Christ.
All right.
And so that's what the church is founded upon, Jesus Christ the Rock.
Praise God. Brother Mitch?
Disagree with you. Sister said, because if you remove him as the Son of the Living God,
mm-hmm.
then everything else is wrong.
So right. Church.
Mm-hmm.
So sister said that revelation, that conclusion that he is the Son of the Living God,
mm-hmm.
on
mm-hmm.
that the church is built, and everything is wrong.
Yes. Put your hand down.
I believe also that it's wrong because he says that he's telling Peter, "You are Peter." So mm-hmm. I believe our identity is Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and he knows who we are, Brother Ben.
Oh. I got you.
I got you.
It says,
you wrote a note down? Mm-hmm. Don't worry, Geraldine got your back.
You know, it's mentioned in the New Testament several times that he's the cornerstone.
Yes.
And he's the foundation
mm-hmm.
of the church. You know, and you build that, whatever you build is going to be in a foundation. So mm-hmm. he is the foundation of the church. And also it says to build the church on Christ and by the every word that received out of the mouth of God.
Yes.
In Matthew 4.
Amen.
We know he is the rock you're talking
yes.
about. Because everything is founded on him.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Other than it was on the cross.
That's right. Amen. How many know he's a rock and a weary man?
Yes. Shelter in a time of storm.
Also in Daniel, remember he I described a different nation.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the rock that came? That
stone
was
hewn out of the mountain.
And destroyed the image.
Mm-hmm. Go on, preach up. Preach up.
And that rock was Jesus.
All right. Praise God. Amen. That's our Lord. You know, I'm excited about Jesus. I'm excited about being a child of the Most High God. And I thank God that God is not like man.
That's right.
Amen.
And I'm certainly glad that God didn't, you know, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but God did not build the church based on man.
Nope.
No man can do what God can do. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. He and my body told me to run on. He's my friend. Anybody ever been healed by the power of God? Anybody been delivered? Anybody been set free? anybody been given hope in a hopeless situation?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Have God ever worked a miracle in your life?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. You know, one of these days, I never seen it in all of my 30, almost 40 years of being saved, but I never seen a testimony revival.
Oh my God.
It's some one of these days, once in a lifetime, where the people of God can come together, not for show, but shown up to tell what God has done in our lives. See, we overcome by the word of our testimony
and by
the blood of the Lamb. See, God, and the world needs to know what God has done in our lives. God, he doesn't do anything in our lives, but it's just to hold it to ourselves.
Right.
When God works something out in our lives, it's for us to tell somebody else. See, I tell the saints all the time, witness every chance you get. And every now and then use words. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Let's wrap this up. Verse 19 and 20. This is really deep. I know sometimes there's so many speculations concerning this. Thank God for all the helps that he gives us. And I will give you, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Question. Where did binding and loosing originate? From Peter or from heaven? I can't hear you.
Amen.
Okay. Hey, I got a great handout. I would like to relate you girls didn't answer no question tonight. Y'all been real quiet. You did? Why not? I'm in audible. Come on, baby. I need to pass this out real quick.
No worries.
I'm sorry.
She wants to punch a hole in it first.
Oh, but Rick, oh, not we.
You got it right here.
Okay. No, we'll get it punched after service. I might get punched after service.
You said it.
So I'm going to stick close to the saints until we get out of the parking lot.
Okay.
So you have an extra one of those?
I ran out.
You ran out? Okay. Let me have yours standing for a minute. You can make a copy and punch some others. I think it's a good handout. There's an app that's called Got Questions. It's an excellent app. But I was, you know, I had been studying on this. And, you know, and I've seen folks down through my saved life, Satan, I bind you. And they binding some of everything. I asked this brother one time, if you keep binding him, how you keep getting loose? So, in all you're getting, we need to get an understanding of what God is saying. If you all would indulge me for a minute, we'll close out pretty much on this note. With someone, let's take a paragraph apiece. Would someone read that first paragraph and consequently the next three? Because I think this is pretty appropriate for these last two verses that we just read. Come on, Evangelist, start us out.
The concept of binding and loosening is taught in the Bible in Matthew 16:19. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In this verse, Jesus is speaking directly to the Apostle Peter and indirectly to the other apostles. Jesus' words meant that Peter would have the right to enter the kingdom himself, and that he would have general authority symbolized by the possession of the keys, and the preaching of the gospel would be the means of opening the kingdom of heaven to all believers and shutting it against unbelievers. The book of Acts shows us this process at work. By his sermon on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:14-40, Peter opened the door of the kingdom for the first time. The expression bind and loose were common to Jewish legal phraseology, meaning to declare something forbidden or to declare it allowed.
All right. Did someone spell sister and read the next paragraph?
It's allowed.
Peter and the other disciples were continuing Christ's work on earth in preaching the gospel and declaring God's will to men, and they were armed with the same authority as he possessed. In Matthew 18:18, there is also a reference to binding and loosing in the context of church discipline. Thus, apostles do not assert Christ's lordship and authority over individual believers and their eternal destiny, but they do exercise the authority to discipline and, if necessary, excommunicate disobedient church members.
All right.
It's not that apostles were given the privilege of changing God's mind, as if whatever they decided on earth would be duplicated in heaven. Rather, they were encouraged that as they moved forward in their apostolic duties, they would be fulfilling God's plan in heaven. When the apostles bound or forbade it on earth, they were carrying out the will of God in that matter. When they loosed something or allowed it on earth, they were likewise fulfilling God's eternal plan. In both Matthew 16 and 19, as well as Matthew 18 and 18, the syntax of the Greek text makes the meaning clear. Whatever thou mayest bind upon earth shall be having bound in the heavens, and whatever thou upon the earth shall be having been loosed in the heavens. Matthew 16:19, Young's Little Translation, or as the Amplified Bible puts it.
This is the point where I really want us to get right here.
All right. Whatever you bind, forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth will have already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, permit, declare lawful on earth will have already been loosed in heaven.
See, so Jesus taught that his apostles had a special task on earth. Authority, as recorded in the New Testament epistles, reflect God's will for the church. When Paul declared an anathema, on those who pervert the gospel, then we know that anathema was already declared in heaven, Galatians 1, 8 through 9. I think this was good to read this, to put it in its proper perspective, and everyone, when the question was asked, where did binding and loosing originate from Peter here that said something, had a resounding from heaven. And I think that's very important because the Holy Spirit dictates to us what to do according to God's word. Just real brief, I think it was in Acts chapter 15, I believe, the Jerusalem Council, when Peter in Jerusalem and Peter was there, and the apostles, they're trying to figure out how to integrate Gentiles into the church. And they begin to say that, well, they don't have to go through all of the Jewish customs and circumcision and such, but that they would abstain from fornication. They would abstain from eating things that's been strangled or whatever. They had some ordinances they put out, but it was in a way, and that came straight from heaven because God, the Lord Jesus, was building his church and engrafting Jews and Gentiles alike into the kingdom of God for the perfecting of the saints. And it's just a blessing. You know, and these few little verses we have really could go another few days. It is so much in here. But the purpose of the church is to glorify God.
Yes.
The purpose of the church is to lead men and women to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
People are dying all around us.
Yes.
The jails are full. The hospitals, the ICUs are full. It's chaos on the streets. It's chaos in Washington, is chaos in Sacramento. We're living in some end times, and we need to be proclaimed. The church need to be standing for Jesus.
Yes.
The church does not need to be divided on all these social issues, because the answer is Jesus.
Yes.
And if I say, Lord, just help me, God. Help me to glorify your name. Help me to be who you want me to be. Help me to stand for right, God. If we would grab hold of that, then we would be a church with a purpose. Because the purpose that Jesus had, I close out a memory verse in Mark 6 and 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with what? Compassion for them. See, do we have compassion for men and women today? Do we have compassion for those who have wronged and hurt us? Those who are not walking in the will of God, do we have compassion on folks who've messed up? Compassion on them because, watch this, they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. The purpose of the church, and it's been said tonight, is to teach the word of God, to live the word of God, to have a heart of love for people. We're Christians, which means to be Christ-like. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Praise God. That's the lesson for tonight. God bless you all. What a blessing.